Back here on Downtown, it's 4:31 on a Monday afternoon. Time to talk about a little music and a little sports, as we always do, with our friend Larry Mahoney of the Bangor Daily News. Hi there, Larry.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Oh, just great.
Hearing the Bangles. Easy Shade of Winter, originally done by Simon Garfunkel. They released it in 1966 and went to number 13. Bangles came out with it in 1987, went to number 2 with it. It's a song, you like both versions, but that one's a little snappier, don't you think?
Yeah, and as I understand, Susanna Hoffs was really worried that Paul Simon wouldn't like their version, and he absolutely loved it. He thought it was fabulous, and so that made him even better. And I don't know if you've seen any pictures or video of her lately. She just turned 65, and I saw a video of her singing that song. The woman does not age and sounds exactly the same as she did 30 plus years ago.
Yeah, she does. And again, that she was the impetus behind that, because she was listening to music on a station called K Earth 101, and she was up on Simon and Garfunkel, but she had never heard that song. As soon as she heard that song, she went to rehearsal with the Bangles that night and said, "We got to cover this. We have to cover this song." And then they did. And, the Bangles, you have the Peterson sisters, Vicky and Debbie. And then you have Michael Steele was the bassist. And then she left. And they had an original bassist. And I think they're still performing, as far as I know. They're still performing. And, the Bangles and the Go-Go's, the two most influential female bands of all time. And Bangles had 8 top 30 hits, including a couple number ones. You want to know, would you know what the two number ones are?
I would say Manic Monday and Walk Like an Egyptian.
Walk Like an Egyptian is right. Manic Monday was 2, and you know who wrote Manic Monday?
Prince wrote that for them. If it wasn't that, then
Eternal Flame.
That was going to be my other guess. There we go. And interesting, you mentioned the Peterson sisters, and Vicki Peterson has a side project that she does with her husband, and you'll love these connections. Her husband is Bill Cowsill of the Cowsills, and they have teamed up with a friend of Downtown. He's coming on next week, Bill Mumy, the former child star, and they have a group.
Yeah, I remember him.
They have a group called Action Skulls. That's Bill and Bill Cowsill and Vicki Peterson.
Wow, and of course Billy Mumy was in Lost in Space.
Lost in Space, 4 different Twilight Zones, I believe, Babylon 5, and a very good singer-songwriter.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. But Lost in Space was a staple of our television viewing back then. As corny as it was, and now looking back on it, but it was a staple. It was something that we always looked forward to, Professor Harris and the robot and stuff. And it's always good to go back in time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's see. What else is going on this afternoon? Hockey, a little semester break, and a nice way to go into the break with 2 pretty convincing wins over Stonehill.
Well, I wouldn't call them convincing. It was 2-2 the first night going into the third period. And then, it was a 3-1 game after 2 the second night. The games were much tougher than I think people expected, especially after the first period. Saturday afternoon, Mano shot them 18-2, and they were up 2-0. So you figured this was going to be a long weekend. Now remember, Stonehill is a 30-year Division I program. They only have 9 scholarships compared to the 18 you're allowed. So they're building their program. So, but they got a great coach in David Berard, former head coach at Holy Cross and UConn, and a longtime assistant at Providence, and he's done a great job. But Maine had to work. Maine didn't play particularly well over the weekend, but they were able to come out with the 2 wins and get to 12-2-2, and they remain number 5 in both national polls. But so now they get a break. They don't play again until the 29th against Bentley, and then of course Denver, defending defending national champs, come to town for 2.
Now, are they still in the adjustment period of figuring out what to do without Lyndon Breen?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And he's somebody that you look at what he does on the ice, but also off the ice. He's a great leader. He's a heart and souls guy. You know, he's like about 5'9", 5'10", 170 pounds, but plays like he's 6'3", 210, relentless on the puck, fiery. You know, he's just somebody that the players love him. He and David Brazil, the other co-captain, and it is an adjustment period. I mean, you know, of course they didn't have Brandon Holt either, who their defenseman, who's one of their top two defensemen, but he should be back for Bentley. We don't know. We know that Breen had leg surgery on Friday. You know, they haven't said he's out for the season, so I mean there might be a chance they get him back in mid to late February. We don't know. It all depends on how rehab goes and whatever. But you know, again, you know, they're gonna have to make do without him. And so other players, they know it. They're gonna have to all step up. And you know, one of the players that got a place in the starting lineup, or not in the starting lineup, but in the lineup, was Nick Nemo. Hadn't played at all this season. He was a healthy scratch, scored a goal and played on Saturday, played very well on Sunday. Thomas Pichette came in when Oscar Komarov got hurt. He scored a goal. He's a freshman. So, I mean, they're getting contributions. And I mean, arguably their fourth line was their best line on Sunday. And that had Pichette, Nemo and Anthony Calafieri, and then the previous night Komarov played and Pichette didn't play. So you got four players, you know, basically vying for playing time on the fourth line, and again, that's been a very effective line for them, and that's how they're going to have to win. They're going to have to win with depth. I mean, they don't have a bevy of All-American candidates. In fact, you know, again, Josh Nadeau is starting to score, so that's good. But he's their only preseason All-Hockey East pick, and he was a third-teamer last year. But, you know, remember, this team has one draft pick. You're playing BC and BU. They each have 12 or 13. And Maine's draft pick is Taylor McCarron. He's a seventh-round pick at Colorado. So this is a team that's, you know, it's the team that it has to win as a team. If they have three or four guys that have off nights, they're going to struggle to win. Although they do have very good goaltending. Of course, Patrick Spurzon's got his first start. The freshman, and played well on Sunday in the 4-2 game. So, yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of just people. It's a team that outworks you. It's a team that is very structured, and it has skill, has enough skill to, you know, to be in the top five in the country in scoring. So, and the power play's been clicking. So, but no, you know, individual talent wise, they're not in the same level with BC and BU.
Larry Mahoney with us here on Downtown. Larry, who's the best team you've seen this season?
Probably BC. I mean, you know, they have Ryan Leonard. He was eighth overall pick in the first round. I mean, they just have, you know, they've just, you know, they have a freshman who's a first round pick. I mean, they're just really talented. But I mean, you know, Maine went toe to toe with them down there. Maine was up 2-0 in the third period and lost 3-2 in a game where BC had a 5-minute power play. Maine outshot them 5-0 while shorthanded. So I mean, Maine can compete because they outwork you and they're more structured and they got one of the best coaches in college hockey in Ben Barr and coaching staff with Jason Fortier and of course and Alfie Michaud and Eric Salty. So I mean, you know, they go hard in practice. Their practices, sometimes you have to come up and watch them practice. I mean they beat on each other. I mean, not physically, but you know, very physical. I mean, we're not talking fist fights. We're just saying, you know, they really practice hard and they carry that into games. They're relentless. They're in your face all the time. But they face a very structured Stonehill team that you know, I played very, very well against them and made them work for everything. And I think that's more valuable than if the Stonehill team from a year ago that was 2-34 had come in here. Maine had won 8-0, 9-1. So, I mean, again, they had to work for the wins. They got two wins. They're 12-2-2. And now Bentley and Denver are on the horizon.
I don't know how anybody coaches college sports in this day and age, and boy, the transfer portal has made it even tougher just in the last week or so. And again, why the portal is open when some teams are still playing games, I don't know. But Black Bear football has lost, among others, Xavier Holmes, Shamel Davis, Trevin Ewing, Tavian Banks, one of their backup offensive linemen, a young wide receiver. I don't know how you do it and build any kind of a team when you always have the chance of getting these guys to the point where they can step in your lineup and then they go somewhere else.
It's like, hey, we're gonna build this team. We're gonna build this team. I'm gonna make you a better player, and then you're gonna leave.
I mean,
it's frustrating as hell. It really is. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I will say, Rich, I think, you know, obviously some coach, who was Mac Brown just got let go at North Carolina,
yeah,
or left. And that's what he said. He said, hey, it's time for me to go. He didn't like the change. A lot of coaches are getting out of it just because they don't want to deal with that. And, you know, because it's become pro sports now, basically.
Yeah. I saw today Colgate, who had that big, tough quarterback, Michael Brescia, he's entered the portal. And Reese Poffenbarger, yep, who was all everything 2 years ago, yep, for Albany, went to Miami, I think, threw 6-7 passes all year, and now he's back in the portal.
Yeah, but, and he'll be able to play immediately.
Right.
Because he'll be able to play immediately, I think, if he's a grad student. But if not, he's going to have to sit out a year, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Are they changing that?
I think they've changed that. I read about a guy, I can't remember where he plays, but he's looking, he's in the portal, and he's looking to play for his fifth team in 6 years.
So coaches have to be salespeople, you know, because to keep players.
Right.
But that's why if you can, in hockey, like for instance, if Maine, you know, they're going to get the, you know, they get that crowd, you know how energized that crowd is. It's a unique atmosphere. It's regarded maybe the best college atmosphere in hockey. And then you start winning. And then they put $45 million into the arena. Now all of a sudden, you've got people that want to stay.
Right, right.
And that's the goal. That's the goal. Have people stay and also make it attractive for potential transfers.
I think too, sometimes these guys get really bad advice from people, or they reach for something that they think they'll achieve, whether it's the opportunity to play at the FBS level or whether someone's offering some NIL money. But you know, I always remember what you hear from the NFL scouts all the time. If you're a good enough player, we'll find you, and it doesn't matter where you are.
Oh, look at Deshaun Stevens. I mean,
yes,
he was an all conference linebacker and went to West Virginia and played special teams. Now we'd have to talk to Deshaun. Deshaun may say, hey, it was well worth it. I mean, to go to be a part of that environment, the FBS environment, even though I didn't play as much as I did at Maine or nearly as much, I mean, it was still worth it. Maybe he'll say that, or maybe he'll say, well, I it was an opportunity. I wanted to test myself, and I did, and, you know, it didn't quite work out the way I hoped. But even then, you know, Rich, you have to look at them and say, what are you going to say to yourself 10 years from now?
Right.
Are you going to regret not trying, not giving it a shot? Maybe you are, you know?
Larry Mahoney, the Bangor Daily News. Larry, great talking with you as always. Appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. And
I'm very upset, Richard.
Yeah? About what?
I'm not crazy about your station going under.
Well, we're not wild about it either. But like I told you, we're working. We're weighing our options, whatever they might be. And, you know, whatever we do going forward, again, if it's just me going door to door and talking to people, I'll bring you along like I do now.
I hope so. Hey, you know what you ought to do, Rich? Put your name in the portal.
Do they have a radio transfer portal? That would be fantastic.
It's about time. It's about time. Rich Kimball is in the portal.
Right. And all I get is an offer from some station in Waukegan, Illinois. Oh, man.
Yeah.
What have I got to do? Yep. Can I go back? Is it like the portal now? Can you
go to an FBS station?
Oh, I would like that. Just for that exposure, I don't want to go on the air. I just want to be there on the sidelines taking it all in.
you can be the engineer.
Yep, that's it right there. I'll do stats for them. I think they'll appreciate it. Perfect. Larry, thank you as always, my friend. We'll see you one more time before we shut it down in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll make it big too, man.
I'm looking forward to it.
We'll go music, man.
That's
we'll
it.
Thank the music.
We'll all music. That's it. All music in 2 weeks.
Okay.
You got it. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Rich. Bye-bye.
Larry Mahoney, Bangor Daily News, with us here on Downtown.